Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to Old School on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back into Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Three Lincoln locations and one up in Omaha for you. Check them out, especially as the weather is turning nicer. Fire up your grill. No better way to do that than to treat yourself to some of the finest proteins in the area. I'm Austin Norman with you for the next half an hour or so before we get you sent out to some girls district final basketball action. Don't forget, we are carrying the state tournaments. Every game is at Pinnacle Bank Arena. You will be able to hear right here on these very airwaves, 93.7 The Ticket, on your FM dial, on our free app for your phone, on our website, you name it. I know Nick is putting in a lot of work behind the scenes, getting things ready for these next couple weeks. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for next week, and then the week after, we will have wall-to-wall coverage of state basketball action from Pinnacle Bank Arena. Between games, we'll be back here in studio breaking it down, talking about it in the news of the day as well. But every game at Pinnacle Bank Arena, you will be able to hear right here on 93.7 The Ticket. Nick Sainert will be on the call, voice high school sports here on The Ticket, of course. And then you also look at the guys will be joining him. Obviously, Jay Foreman will be around, Eric Strickland, Thomas Villianco, rumored to be making some appearances for state basketball as well. It's going to be a blast. We are looking forward to it as always. Also looking forward to tomorrow at Pinnacle Bank Arena for Nebraska and Minnesota. I need to echo everything that Strick and Jay said before I dive a little more into Minnesota, because really more than anything, in a game that Nebraska opens up as 8.5-point favorites, it's about Nebraska. If Nebraska handles business the way it should, I'm not saying handles business against Minnesota. I'm saying handles business in terms of its approach. If Nebraska plays hard, if Nebraska creates good shots, if Nebraska focuses on finishing at the rim and Nebraska's communicating and active on defense, Nebraska will be fine. Dawson Garcia is a darn good player. I like Mike Mitchell. Femi Odukale might cause Nebraska a few issues here and there. Lucy Patterson might be a little bit slept on. But let's not get it twisted. This is not a Minnesota team that grades out very well. 91st in KenPom out of 364 teams in Division I. So they are right at that 75th percentile mark. Second to last by my research in the Big Ten, ahead of only Washington. Now, something a little interesting to note about Minnesota. They're 14-14 overall, but they've only lost more than two games in a row one time. It was to start off calendar year 2025 when they got beat by 20 by Purdue at the Barn, lost in double overtime to Ohio State by a single solitary point on January 6th. That was one of the stupidest games I have ever had the, dare I call it, privilege of watching. I turned that game on about 5 minutes left. Thought there was no way Minnesota was going to win that one. No way Ohio State was going to lose that one. And then that flipped four or five different times in those last 5 minutes, and then four or five more times in overtime. Then after those back-to-back home losses, Minnesota got stomped by Wisconsin at the Kohl Center, only lost by six on the road at Maryland. Then they turned it around with a three-game win streak, Michigan, Iowa, and Oregon, two of those three at home. And then from there, it's just been up and down. It's been the roller coaster for Minnesota. Losses to Michigan State and Washington, a win over Penn State in Happy Valley, a big loss to Illinois at home. Then they sweep their Los Angeles trip. Yeah, Minnesota went on the road and beat USC and UCLA just a few days apart by 3 points each. And then they come back home from their Los Angeles trip. They go to the Barn. Penn State gets the get back, a 9-point win. And then Northwestern, a 12-point win over the Golden Gophers at home. To drop Minnesota to right now an even 500 overall at 14-14 and 6-11 in Big Ten conference play. That's one game back of Nebraska, who sits at 7-10 in Big Ten conference play right now. Minnesota not favored in any of its remaining games. They're 9-point dogs to Nebraska, according to Ken Pomeroy, 8.5 if you look at some of the Vegas lines. They're also 9-point dogs at home to Wisconsin, and then 6-point underdogs on the road at Rutgers to finish out the year on a week from Sunday. So this is not a great Minnesota team, but they're dangerous enough, right? This is not a team Nebraska can overlook. And I think that this is going to be a good challenge for Nebraska tomorrow because of, more than anything, Minnesota's tempo. Minnesota plays at one of the slowest paces in the country. Their average number of possessions per game, adjusted for opponent and all that, 62.5 possessions per game, 358th out of 364 opponents. What does that mean for Nebraska? It means execution is going to be at a premium. Finishing possessions is going to be crucial, whether you look at offense or defense. In a game with few possessions, every possession takes on, you know, a little bit more magnified level of importance. With Minnesota playing slow and Nebraska not exactly playing all that quickly either by itself, Nebraska's average tempo is a 67.5 possessions per game, which is pretty much smack dab in the middle, average pace. I would expect this to be a game played, you know, in the mid-60s in terms of numbers of possessions. And I think that benefits Nebraska coming off a game like Michigan, an offensive struggle for Nebraska, because it's really going to force Nebraska to hone in on execution, right? Michigan doesn't play as slow as Minnesota did. They didn't love to get out in transition by any means. But when you look at how that game played out, Nebraska didn't exactly value possessions, nor did Michigan, right? It was good defense maybe on some parts. It was missed shots by the offenses on others. But Fred Hoiberg has mentioned a couple times that when Nebraska ran its action, Nebraska was pretty good against Michigan, even in a game that was a struggle like that. If Minnesota is going to continue to play slow, if Minnesota wants to try to execute in the half court, which I don't necessarily blame them for with a guy who can go get him a bucket in Dawson Garcia, I think that's good for Nebraska mentally because these Huskers don't necessarily love to run. They're pretty good when they get out in transition, not necessarily elite, but they certainly get some easier buckets in transition than they do in the half court consistently. But I think a lot of the messaging from Fred Hoiberg this week was about, we have to be better in the half court, right? And that's not just about, yeah, Nebraska has to shoot better. I mean, that's obvious. But what will lead Nebraska to shooting better? It'll be playing with better pace, not rushing, not hurrying, but making sure the actions are run the way they're supposed to, with everyone in the right spot, everyone focusing on what their job is on any given play or possession, on recognizing mismatches and taking advantage of them somewhat quickly. And then when there's not an advantage, who can I get it to who might have an advantage or who can easily create an advantage? This is a game that I think Femi Odukale is going to have his hands full with Bryce Williams and probably a little bit of Juwan Gary as well. I don't know if this is necessarily a Connor Asijan game.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To me, this is a Bear Cable Ekdengel game. What's his bounce back look like? And dare I say it's an Andrew Morgan game. You know, Andrew Morgan is from Minnesota, and I'm not saying that's, you know, any particular extra motivation for Andrew Morgan. It might be, it might not be, I don't know. But when I think about what Minnesota has in Dawson Garcia, if Andrew Morgan is the guy that gets the start, I like that Nebraska can go to him and attack Dawson Garcia. Now, Andrew Morgan has to be smart, not force shots up just for the sake of doing it. Andrew Morgan has to be decisive, right? When Andrew Morgan just puts his head down, is taking the air out of the ball, his moves aren't necessarily as effective, right? Andrew Morgan has been so good at that jab, rip, and go, getting to the other side of the rim for a reverse layup and finishing there. He's got a pretty good bag of post moves, but Andrew Morgan, anecdotally, gets worse the more times he has to dribble. He settled for that kind of, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon, Dirk Nowitzki sort of fadeaway shot quite a few times this year to varying levels of success. I think if Andrew Morgan, you know, puts his head down, not his shoulder down, goes to work quick, I think that'll benefit Nebraska. I think that if Nebraska starts Morgan at the five and Juwan Gary at the four, that puts Juwan Gary on the perimeter quite a bit, being guarded by Parker Fox. I think that's advantaged Nebraska with Juwan Gary off the bounce. A lot of Parker Fox's block, I mean, he has like a 6% block rate this year, which is absolutely phenomenal, come because he can camp out in the paint and help side rotate over instead of being the primary defender. So I think that if Nebraska can get Juwan Gary cooking on Parker Fox early, that helps open things up quite a bit. I think Connor Asijan, if he can get going, that's great. I think for Raleigh Wooster, for Sam Hoiberg, it's going to be more about the defense than it is the offense for them, right? Raleigh Wooster has to recognize mismatches for Nebraska and help the Huskers take advantage of them. I don't think Raleigh necessarily needs to look to score in this game. Asijan's got to hunt his shots. That's where his value comes. But I like Mike Mitchell. I do as a player for Minnesota. And then looking up and down the rest of their roster too, Lusai Patterson going to have the ball in his hands quite a bit. He's going to play a lot of minutes for them. I mean, Dawson Garcia is playing 87% of Minnesota's minutes. Patterson's playing 81%. Odukale's playing about 72% of the minutes. Those two guys are used quite a bit in Garcia and Patterson. Odukale is a little bit lower usage type of player, but that's good size at 6'6", 215. Again, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, can Nebraska worry about itself for 40 minutes of basketball? If Nebraska has focused on itself, has recommitted to do the basics and doing the little things, Nebraska's absolutely going to be fine in a game like Minnesota tomorrow. Yes, Minnesota has an advantage here, there. I still think up and down the roster in totality, Nebraska has the advantage, as I think they should in a situation like this. Now it's up to the Huskers to prove it because they're running out of chances. Plain and simple, Nebraska is running out of chances. You heard Strick and Jay mention only three games left for Nebraska this year. Huskers are favorites in two of them. They're favorite against Minnesota, also favorite against Iowa. They're underdogs on the road against Ohio State, who Nebraska did beat here in Lincoln. And that's all according to Ken Pomeroy right now. Ken Pom has Nebraska finishing 19-12 in the regular season with a 9-11 record in Big Ten conference play. Let's say that holds true. Then Nebraska went 9-5 outside of a 6-game losing streak, which is pretty much what they did last year in terms of pace. That'll make you look back and say, man, how did Nebraska let Iowa get away? How did Nebraska let Rutgers and USC off the hook? And even, you know, could Nebraska have been one or two possessions better on the road against Maryland to steal what would have been, you know, one of the biggest feathers in Nebraska's cap in terms of the resume? Because of just how well Maryland's playing, up to 16th in KenPom right now. No, they're not leading the Big Ten, but Maryland's, you know, going to be a top six seed at the very least. I would almost wager Maryland's creeping into that four seed discussion, probably a five for my money right now. Of course, the buzzer beater from Michigan State doesn't help the Crab Five's case necessarily. But if you're Nebraska, you can't afford to look back to letting the opportunity against a top 15 Michigan team slip away. You can't still be dwelling on Penn State because you don't have opportunities really to improve your resume that much. All Nebraska can do, all Nebraska has to do, is focus on not just the game at hand, but really the possession at hand. That's how Nebraska is going to put itself in the best position for anything bigger or better than the Big Ten tournament at the end of the year. Because, yeah, Nebraska can still hit 20 wins, but what's the quality of those 20 wins? That doesn't matter. That can't be a conversation that Nebraska is having. So, Husker fans, I encourage you to not look too far ahead, to not get out over your skis with it, right? I keep saying it, don't live and die by bracketology. It's a lot of opinions. It's a lot of people still trying to figure out where teams slot in. And I think it's going to be healthy for this fan base, too, to take things one game at a time, just like the team really needs to do if it wants to finish with the 19 wins that KenPom projects, or shoot, even finish the regular season 20 and 11 overall. So again, 1 o'clock tip off for Nebraska and Minnesota tomorrow. Can Nebraska finish possessions on offense? You mentioned that, but also here on defense, right? Minnesota's not a great offensive rebounding team. They're okay at it. On the year, they rebound about 30% of their misses. That's, again, about 50th percentile in the country. They do allow their fair share of offensive rebounds, but that's not necessarily been a huge strength of Nebraska's. As long as Nebraska doesn't allow Minnesota to get any cheap ones, I really think Nebraska's gonna end up being fine in this one tomorrow. We will have some post-game coverage for you right at 3 o'clock here on the Ticket. Strick and I will probably go for about an hour from 3 to 4 reacting to Nebraska, Minnesota, what it means for the Huskers then with two games remaining. But we're going to throw you to break. When you get back, you'll be out at Lincoln North Star for some high school district basketball action, girls district final. Nick Sainert, Jay Foreman on the call. We'll talk to you here in just a moment.
Stay warm and save every day, all in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices, save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas mini bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.